You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. This program is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. And this show is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. So you have three ways of being connected with our radio station here in Marion, Ohio. Again, WWGH107.1 FM radio. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have a new announcement. They are having a youth meeting at their church at 582 Lee Street, and they have a guest speaker, Elder Mark Cobb, Shiloh Baptist Church, Mansfield, Ohio. He will be speaking there. From what I understand, there will be games and all those type of things, plus the word. It's focused on desire, destiny, and design, coming from Psalms 34, verse 8. Again, the hostess, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. You're also welcome to go on their website. The youth that will be attending, they need parental consent, and the forms are on their website, www.logoschristianministries.com. And if you miss the free produce market Saturday pass, it will be the second Saturday of next month, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Same place, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street. Fresh food. All you need to do is come and sign your name and number of people in your household. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company. Home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And I have a thought for you today. God is in control, and His timing is perfect. I know a lot of times we're waiting and wondering, why is God taking so long to answer our questions or to answer our prayers? And believe, even though you can't see Him working, He is working. He's working around you and through you and through others, maybe even, to bring them around to His purpose in His timing in due time. So waiting on God is time never wasted. Remember that. No matter how hard it may seem, He's still working. I have with me today Barbara Jagger.
No.
Bernie?
Yes. Used to be Jagger.
Okay. Barbara. I saw Barbara A. Bernie.
Uh-huh.
Then I pulled out your past paper from you being here last time, and I have Barbara Jagger Bernie.
Well,
so that's still you.
It's still me.
So how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored.
Good. I'm glad you could make it today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. I enjoy talking about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
What He's done and what He's doing. He's never just done anything. He's always in the now.
Always working.
He's an on-time, right now God when you need Him.
Amen.
He's always here.
Amen. Now, Barbara, this is her second visit to our show, and as I advertised on Facebook today, she is a poet. And I know some of us may wonder, where are the poets? Maybe even in your own hometown, we wonder. We get magazines, and we see people writing poems and poems on there and psalms. Well, we have one right here in our own hometown, And hopefully she will be branching out a little further, spreading her tentacles a little further mm-hmm. in the community so that she can bless us with her gift. And she really does have a gift. Now, Barbara, remind us of some of your background and how you came about recognizing your gift of poetry.
Well, I was in the seventh grade, and I really didn't have any thoughts of being a poet. Mm-hmm. I not that I remember, but Mr. Slauson, my seventh grade English teacher, Jeff Slauson,
okay.
amazing man. He gave us an exercise to do one time, told us to put our thoughts down on paper, and it couldn't be a whole sentence.
Right.
You know, just thoughts. Oh, eggs in a skillet, you know, oh, there's a stone on the driveway, or whatever came to your mind, you know, just literally.
Right.
And he showed us how to take our thoughts and put them together, and I just started writing, and he's the one that recognized my gift.
Okay.
And I've always been very grateful to him for that. Since the seventh grade, I've been writing. I write about love. I write about beauty. I write about, you know, God's love, the goodness of God, and just about anything, as long as it's clean and got a good message, you know. I love to write, just say, hey, write me a poem about a daisy, or you know, hey, you know, I saw a turtle, you know, just anything silly or something somebody, a problem somebody has or something that can be addressed. So many times we can address people's problems
mm-hmm.
and we talk to them, but it just goes right over their head.
Right.
You know, or they're so lonely or something, they're looking at you, but they're not seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you know, God will put words in my spirit that will speak to a soul, you know.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
one thing to just blabber out what you think, but poetry speaks to people.
Okay.
Now, not everybody likes poetry.
Right.
Some people
right.
are bored, but I've found one thing. Usually, if somebody says, I don't care for poetry, and you say, well, here, read this. And mm-hmm. if you hear them read it, you know why they don't care for it.
Why is that? How can you tell?
Well, because there is a way to read poetry and there's a way not to read poetry.
Okay.
Poetry has to be felt. It can't just be said.
Okay.
You know, it has to, any time I read a poem, you know, even my own, I'll read it over. I read it usually several times before I, you know, call it done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a message to it, and probably that's why songs are poems first. You know,
right.
Yeah, there's always a message, and there's a meter, there's a feeling
mm-hmm.
in the poem. You know, I can make you mad with a poem. I can make you laugh. I can make you cry. I yeah. choose not to do that.
Right.
Because I don't like to be made to cry, but that's many times, you know, I feel like I should be writing, but I'm not in a very good mood. And we don't need
and
another.
And that might come through
yeah,
your writing, right?
Yeah, it will. It yeah. does. And we don't need another poem like The Raven, you know.
Well, what about David? Some of those poems he wrote, he was like, come on, God, get them. They're bothering me. I want you to bother them, you
exactly.
know?
And it's funny that you should say that, because I was sitting meditating about coming here today, and I thought, you know, I do call myself a poet. I do consider myself a poet.
Right.
You know, I have poems that have been copyrighted, and I have one in a book. Well, I have a book of poems, but it's not actually copyrighted. But I call myself a poet, and then I think of King David.
Yeah.
Now, he was the poet
yes.
of all poets.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, I think of the 23rd Psalm
mm-hmm.
and the beauty in that.
Yes.
You know, how he not only tells us what the Lord has said to him, but he makes us see it. How many times have you heard the 23rd Psalm and not in your mind's eye? You can see a pool of still water, and you
yes.
can see that green grass and those
yes.
little bebopping sheep, you know, around it. I mean, you can just see
yeah,
it.
That's
and that's
true.
What a poem should do for you.
Right.
You should be able to see what I'm saying.
And that's many times of reading. It depends on what you're going through in your life. Do you see those things he's talking about, you
right.
know? And
right.
you can, it's like heartfelt,
right?
You know, especially when you're like down in the valley and you just need that pickup, you know, mm-hmm. and that song may come to your mind, you
right?
know? And I also like that one, contend with them, Lord, that contend with me. You know, when Saul was after him to kill him, every which way he turned,
well,
like,
you can almost see the look on his face.
Yes, you know? Yes. Hurry up, Lord. Where you at?
I
Come
know,
on,
right?
Avenge me. You know, what's yeah. taking you so long? And all that. I think all that is built up in our human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly.
The ugly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find it. I had a psalm that I wanted to read. Maybe I'm not supposed to read it. But 22 times in this one psalm, it says, His mercy endureth forever.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, it's okay to repeat yourself
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's done in poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it a lot, but I do. Sometimes I'll tag the end of it
mm-hmm.
with the beginning. But I am so amazed at David's, you know, way of doing things. And the last psalm that impacted me so much, and I don't know if I mentioned it last time or not, but it's Psalms 108, I believe it is. And it says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and
mm-hmm.
for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Right.
For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the heart with goodness or something like that. But how poetic. Now, you know, there's all kinds of other translations out there. I'm a poet, so guess what? KJV is, you know, it's my breakfast and
right.
you know, it's my snack. It's for study time, I like the Amplified. I like to go to different versions. I like the NLT. I really like the NLT.
Okay.
And a lot of times if I'm trying to witness to somebody, you know, online or something,
mm-hmm.
and I know where they are.
Right.
You know,
yes.
you know where a person is. And sometimes I feel the need to use the NLT.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the beauty of the King James Version, the poetical love of it.
Yes.
It's just so
drama.
Yeah,
it's all in there.
It's all
beautiful.
In there.
It really
and,
is.
Yes. And
that, you know, God would have a man after his own heart.
Right.
King David, to teach us how to be human.
Right.
And to share.
Right. I can't wait to sit down and talk to David.
Oh my.
I had to go to a funeral today. And no, this is not a bad thing, but a dear, dear friend of mine
mm-hmm.
that I worked with years and years ago in Kentucky at a children's home. She was the cook, and I took care of the boys in the boys' dorm. But we roomed together for a time.
Okay.
And she's gone home.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Oh, but it was beautiful.
Okay.
You know, I went to her funeral
right.
today, and that's where she went. You know, she lived her life
mm-hmm.
wanting to go home.
Isn't that so important to live your life?
Yes, yes. She went home, and even her funeral was a celebration.
Good.
Her nephew, whom I have known for many, many years, grew up with him,
mm-hmm.
Did her service, and it was just a beautiful time. But I said that to say this. She's able to talk to King David now, and I can't. But, you know, I want to see Paul when I get home, the Apostle Paul. But, oh, I want to sit down and have David teach me how to really write poetry.
That's something, yes.
But, yeah, it was.
Man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
You know, wow. And, you know, the sermons about David, they go on and on and on and on and on and on.
Yep.
People pick up something different every time speak about
yeah.
him, you know.
I want to try to read the poem that I wrote today. I started it last night. I scribbled it down beside my bed, and then this afternoon I picked it up again, and I tried to scribble it a little better and ended it. So I don't know how smoothly I can read it, but it's called Look Up.
Okay.
Look up, O child of God. See what the Lord has done. Proclaim, proclaim from the mountaintop the glory of his Son. Give praise and honor, glory and laud to the Creator of all things, There is salvation in none other. He is the King of Kings. Give praise in song, and in the dance shout loud unto our God. Make merry your hearts before his throne, who sits where angels trod. Look up, O child of God, and see what he has done.
Beautiful.
I used to, of course, going to Victory and Truth Ministries, it was a totally new experience for me. I came out of the Wesleyan and the Nazarene, which are all good, mm-hmm. but when you get into the charismatic churches and the people are dancing and singing and praising, and it was a journey for me.
I bet.
And I thought, I'm not praising like they are. I'm not doing it. I raise my little sanctified hand, But it's been amazing how, in the patience of God. And if we just read the Bible with our heart, where he tells us to praise him with the timbrel and the dance. And
Psalms 150,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. He tells us to do all that.
Yes, he does.
And that's, I have been learning, I'm not a kid anymore, but I still learn. Mm-hmm. And I have been learning to enter into worship. Now, or enter into praise. A worship is our life. Our life should be a worship hymnal, yes. Yes. Literally a textbook. But
Psalms 100, enter into his
gates with thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving, yeah. Into his courts with praise.
Yes.
And be thankful unto him, for yes. The Lord is good.
Yes.
And his truth endureth forever.
Yeah. But that's, that's what my desire is.
Yes.
That my poetry will, that the Holy Spirit will be able to use it like a little latch key. Sometimes people have really very hardened hearts. Sometimes they were hurt or something, or especially touchy-feely people,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes just a poem will help people to let down their guard.
True.
You're right. But now I'm not all about that. I like to have fun, and here's a poem that I wrote several years ago. It must have been a lot. I usually date them. This one dated.
There's always a piece of paper that gets by without a date, and I'm like,
I know, right?
When did I write this?
I know.
And I try so hard to make sure I date everything first, but something slides by, right?
Yeah. And when I, on the computer, now it might be on another copy that I have, but this is called It's Temporary.
Oh, okay.
It kind of goes along with what you and I were talking about when we came in.
Okay.
Oh, this temporary dwelling where I live and move about is showing signs of aging and decay, there is no doubt. The moths eat our clothing and the rust eats up our cars. The air is now so dirty, our water comes in jars. But soon I'm going to a city where the Lamb will be the light, and everything that is wrong down here, up there will be all right. There will not be any ugly word or unkind thought up there, and though I can't imagine, it's a joy beyond compare. What Jesus has prepared for us to enjoy throughout the age is too wonderful for human heart to fathom on this stage. We're getting old and slowing down, our hair is turning gray. It seems we must get ready for the ending of the day. The earthly goods I have down here don't have a hold on me. There's not one thing I can't leave my Savior's face to see. I'm glad this world will pass away with trouble, grief, and strife. Praise God, I'll see him as he is at the ending of this life. The trials that we face down here just help us and make us strong, preparing us to fight the war and sing the triumph song. The fire we are walking through refines us like pure gold, so we may be like Jesus as eternity unfolds.
That's going to be the great and glorious day. He says, because when we see him, we will see him as he is.
Yes. Yes.
What a joyful and glorious time that will be.
Yes.
That's who I want to see.
Me too. First of all.
I don't even care if I'll see nobody else. I want to see
Jesus.
I think
about my mom being up there and my grandpa and my grandma, and I have I have more people up there than I do down here.
Yes.
But they've all got to stand back.
Oh, yeah, because we've seen them before. We have never seen
them. They
got to
stand back when I walk through those gates. I want to see Jesus. Yes. I want to see Jesus, and I want a hug. I'm a hugger, and I want his hug more than anything in this world.
Yes. That is something to look forward to.
I want his hug.
Definitely. But I pulled up Psalms 136:1. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the psalm you was looking for.
I don't know.
With this, his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 136:1.
No, that's not it, but it's a good one. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This one, every verse.
Yeah,
Every single verse says his mercy endureth forever. And I could smack myself for not writing it down. You know, you think, oh, I know that, you know.
Yes.
Like I knew how to get here today, right?
Right. I'm so sorry.
I guess I'm telling on myself, but I played Ring Around the Rosie on Center Street.
Now, did I ever see... That's what I love about Messenger, because if someone sends me something, mm-hmm. it stays there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't move.
Right.
I don't even think you can delete stuff on Messenger. And I'm going to have to remind myself to always remind my guest to check out the, or re-give you the directions here till you use the comment.
Right, yeah.
Or just call me.
Well, I didn't know what all you would be doing here, or if you were here yet, and I didn't want to. I thought, well, she probably won't answer the phone. So I called Shelley Paul. Shelley Paul knows everything.
Yeah. She's a good friend, too.
Yes, she's my bestie. Her and her husband.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, that is one. I think that's the only... No, I didn't lost it already. Just disappeared from me, Psalms. It's got to be close to that, though.
I can't believe close I can't to that find area. I was in... I had been reading Psalms 10, let's see.
It should be close to that, where you are in hundreds, I think. So, poetry. I have a friend, he used to do poetry when he was a teenager, and he had a couple of them printed in the Marian Star. Well, we've been connected through Facebook, and I didn't ask him was he still doing his poetry, but now he's turned his life over to Christ, he's faithfully going to church and things like that. So he's pretty busy, and I'm happy for him, because it takes us, I have to put it like that, us a long time to surrender.
It does.
Our lives.
And you know, you think... I heard my favorite preacher on TV. He was talking about, or no, it wasn't. It was Pastor JC was talking about when his message Sunday, mm-hmm. about, you know, when you repent and then you consecrate. I can't even think of the word, but you don't do it all at once. You can't. You know, I mean, you say yes to Jesus and he forgives your sins. But then it's a walk.
Yes, it is.
It's a constant walk and a changing and a rearranging. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to rearrange our lives, literally. And that message was so powerful.
Yes, it was yesterday.
And I just, I'm not good at remembering. I I remember that it was good. I heard a preacher talk about that. He says, what was the sermon like? I don't know, but it was good.
Say, it moved me.
It moved me. It didn't do a thing for my memory, but it moved me.
It moved me, yes. Oh, what was it? Walk it? Work it.
Work
walk it.
It.
Win it. That's what it was. I shared it with my daughter. Is it?
Yeah.
What did y'all talk about? Your pastor doing? Sure, because it just really uplifted me. He said a lot. He said a lot yesterday.
He did.
He
did. It was powerful.
And the one thing he said, do not let that boyfriend stop you
right
from working for God.
Right.
You know,
if he does, he's not for you.
Right.
Right.
Right. And we should not let someone come into our lives and disrupt what we're doing for Christ.
Right.
And that's absolutely true. So he went down this long line of putting points over here and points over there,
I know,
not for everybody.
He scatters it out, don't
he? Yes, he does.
It's like a salt shaker. He says, here.
Take it.
Take this.
But then he brought it down.
Yeah.
Work it.
Yeah.
Walk it.
For those listening, we're talking about Pastor J.C. Church. And if you haven't heard him, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, be there.
And he has his own TV show,
yeah,
right?
He does. He does.
And radio program. Yeah. I don't know the stations right
now. I don't either.
He's a man that is full of the Word of God. And you can't find too many pastors to out-preach him, that's for sure.
I've never heard him out-preached.
That is for sure. I know a lady pastor, and she's powerful, Jackie Peterson. That woman is powerful. Oh, my gosh. She's good, too.
I don't blame I've ever heard her.
She's good, too.
Is she on the radio, or?
No. I have her on my show every now and then.
Okay.
She has her own ministry over on 582 Lee Street. She's powerful, too, to be a female, even though she still comes up against male.
We always will.
Right, that don't. You know, agree with that, you know.
Yeah.
Or don't want them in their pulpit. You know, you have to preach on the floor and all that kind of stuff. It's like, wow. How far have I saw this lady in the gas station. I said, you know what? I can remember when women didn't have to pump gas. You would go up to the gas.
Oh, isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, how far have we fallen? She
kind of
laughed about it, you know, like we're really up here, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it's kind of like we've fallen.
Yeah.
And we're like out here on our own trying to do life.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, Galatians 3:28, just, I went before the Lord one time because, you know, I do preach a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, I think I don't know if I told you before, but I literally was afraid that God would call me to preach when I was young.
Okay.
And I just totally, you know, turned that avenue off. And I sometimes, you know, I wonder what God would have done with me, you know, had I not done that. But then I love Joyce Meyer, and, you know, women preachers are, you know, they are so anointed. And I'm hearing this, all this horrific things about, you know, a woman has no right to preach and the whole nine yards. And I just went before God, you know, and I said, Lord, I need to know.
Right.
I need to know. I'm confused. You know, you don't go to people when you're confused. You know, go before God. I'm confused, Lord. I need to know. And he directed me to Galatians 3:28. There's neither male nor female.
Good.
You know,
good
it, scripture. I can't quote it. I used to quote it,
mm-hmm.
but we're not male and we're not female, and the anointing has no gender.
No.
And it's the anointing that preaches.
True.
You know.
True.
And when the Holy Spirit puts that anointing on me, God could care less if I'm a male or a female.
That's true.
It's the anointing. And if you're preaching out there preaching without the anointing, go home. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the anointing has no gender.
Right.
So.
Try Psalms 118.
118?
I'm still looking.
I'm
still trying to find it. You know, I don't like being defeated when it comes to the word. Like, okay, it's got to be in there somewhere. I know it is. Because I know his mercy endures forever. It says lyric, so maybe it's more than one scripture, I'm sure.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. And I love this. This puts you and me in here.
That's it, right?
This puts you and me in here. It says, right. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Well, we're not Aaron.
No.
Let them now say that fear the Lord. That's, who is that?
Us.
That's me and you.
Should be, better be,
that,
right?
You better believe it. That's us.
Right.
Let Barbara now say. Right. Let Linda now say, that fear the Lord. Let them now that fear the Lord, Linda and Barbara, say that his mercy endureth forever. And you guys out there, you put your name in there too. If you fear the Lord, his mercy endureth forever.
Yes, yes.
He is so wonderful, so merciful.
Yes, he is.
And long-suffering. You know, we don't like the word long-suffering if it pertains to us being doing the long or the suffering.
That's true.
But God, you know, well, I'm so thankful that he is long-suffering.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
And that he does not deal with us according to our sin.
Exactly. Oh. Thank you, Jesus.
Would we be here today?
Do you know we do?
What?
Each other. We
I
deal with
we
each
do.
Other
Aren't
according
we
to their sins. Yes. And we've got to not do that.
Oh, that's so, that
we
is terrible.
We have to
terrible.
Not do that. You know, it's just like, you know, when you have had an experience with someone and they have hurt you and have wronged you so bad. And hurt you so bad, there comes a point in time where you forgive, but it's still there.
You forget.
You still see it. They still
yes.
look at you like you're, you know, a stranger or whatever, or ignore you.
Right.
But you forgive, and you're able to take it before God. So just bless them, Lord. Just bless him. Just bless him, Lord.
Yes,
just
yes.
That's what he meant when he said to heap coals of kindness on their heads. It didn't mean that God was going to punish them. You know, it means that you're so good to them, they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I like
it
what Joyce Meyer
them.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what Joyce Meyer says. She says if you're having a bad day and somebody's hurt you real bad, she said bless them.
Yes.
She says if you're having a bad day, go out and do something good for somebody. She
right.
says because the devil don't know what to do with you when you do that.
True.
You know he don't know how to act with that. You know.
That's true.
So I want to. Bless
somebody.
I want to be that blessing.
Right.
I ask the Lord, you know, Lord, make me a blessing.
Yes, absolutely.
I want him to make my, I used to pray, and I should still pray this way, Lord, make me sweet.
Yeah, oh,
and,
that's a good one.
And gentle.
Yes.
I see, through my life, I have seen, there just are some people that when they smile, it just lights up the room. It just a warmth. You know, you can see that, I mean, just, sugar oozes out of them, you know.
True.
They're so sweet, and I always admired that. And so I would ask the Lord. I ask him, I said, Lord, make me sweet.
Yes.
And make me gentle.
Yes.
Because I have a tendency not to be gentle. I said, do it now.
Right.
I mean it, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I've heard people correct it. Now, honey, you know, mother's going to have to spank you. Well, my kids wouldn't even have listened to me in the first place if I said it like that.
If you had it came out like that, right?
But, you know, it works for some people.
Yes, it does.
And you know, they just were born with a sugar tongue. And I you know, I admire that.
True. And they've learned how to deal with people, sweeten them up, and
right.
change your whole
right.
attitude,
right.
you know, with just gentle words.
Yeah. Gentleness. There, I think... I think it's a fruit of the Spirit. It must be.
It must be.
You know, gentleness, because...
Meekness, kindness.
Yeah.
Yes, on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the list.
And
meekness, self-control.
Meekness is a word that for years just tore at me.
Really?
Because I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because meek doesn't mean like that little cartoon character, meek and eek, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not meek at all.
Right.
But meek is power... That you don't have to use. That,
oh,
you know,
okay.
It's I have the power to cut you up.
But I won't. Oh, wow. Now, that is powerful right
you
there.
Because,
you know, it said that Moses was meek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he could have gone before God and said, all right, get rid of him. Because he stood before God. He stood between God and those wicked
yes,
Israelites.
He did.
No, Lord, no.
Yes, he did.
Don't do it, Lord. Don't hurt them.
Don't annihilate your people,
yeah,
he said.
These are your people. Remember, Lord, how the heathen going to look at them and say,
oh,
look, you know. But he was meek.
That's meek.
But
okay.
He could have said,
that's right.
You know what? let's just start
over. I agree
over.
With you. Yeah.
And God, you know, he was a friend of God. God would have probably said, you know, I think you're right, Moses.
Wow.
Wham. You know, but yes. He's the greatest explanation I know of meekness. Mm-hmm. But meekness, that word, I don't like it. I'm an English person, okay? If I don't know a word, I probably won't let you know it. I'll jot it down. I'll go home and look it up.
Right.
I used to do that in college.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When you know, fellow students would use these big words, and, you know, I'm like, you know, I didn't let on like I didn't know, but I'm writing it down.
Yeah, so you can go find out
so
later.
I'm
yes.
going to be in the know on that
yes,
one, but
yes.
yeah. You
I know. Do the same thing. Even church, wherever I am, I what does that mean? And I'm
like,
and I love Google.
Oh, I do too. When I'm reading the Bible, I'll let down.
Yes, Google. And you can talk to Google. It is just okay.
My Google's messed up on my phone. Oh, I'm so aggravated with my phone.
Wow.
But anyway.
Yes.
God will give me a new one.
That's true. But I love our new technology. You can
oh,
always
I do too.
Be in the know.
You know.
Did you
too.
Want to read some more of that?
Well, let's see.
We have about 10 minutes. Time goes so fast when you're having fun.
This one, I'm. It's just a little kind of a different one.
Okay.
And it's around a question that Jesus asked his disciples. And I think it's a question that we need to consider
mm-hmm.
in our daily life.
Okay.
And it's, you know, who do men say that I am?
Ooh.
Remember, Jesus asked his disciples.
Yes, I do.
And he says, some say you're Elias, some say, you know, one of the prophets. But we need to face that question in our own life. Who is he?
To us.
Who is he to us?
To you.
Who is he? Mm. It says, who do men say that I am? When you're in your daily toil of life, when burdens would be set, where all around your soul is strife, and the night brings in regret. Who do men say that I am? When in the market or traffic lines, at work or home or play, when with the scabrous or well refined, in nighttime or the day, who do men say that I am? When you wander aimlessly or press on with great intent, what is the pictures others see? What message do they get? Who do men say that I am? In all I do and think and say, dear Lord, I need your might to witness for you day by day and spread abroad your light. Make me more like my master in word and deed just now, that I may mirror his actions and echo his precepts aloud. And still he asks the question, who do men say that I am? Redeemer, Savior, yet to come, the sinless, spotless Lamb.
Sinless. Spotless. No guile was found in his mouth.
No guile.
And he answered not a word when he was ridiculed and spit upon.
Amen. Preach it, sister.
Yeah. You know, and just drugged through the streets and whipped with the cat of nine tails and hung.
You know, I don't think we grasp that.
We don't.
Even that Jesus film.
Yeah.
That probably came closer in our century.
True.
You know.
Than anything we could have ever imagined.
We could have imagined.
And then we were all like in awe.
Yeah.
Like we had never heard it before or read it before, even imagined. And we hadn't.
No.
We had not.
No, we take so for granted.
Yes.
His death, burial, and
resurrection. Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. Jesus died for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
right.
know. And that's. We're almost glib about it.
True.
Because I don't know, I not everybody was as blessed as I was, but I was raised by a godly woman. I mean, she raised us at her knees.
Okay.
You know, I mean, she read the Bible to us. We had devotions. I mean, it just, you know, she taught me to love the Word of God.
Right.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
But it's people like me that tend to take for granted how good God is, because I know how good he is.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm sure that's why the trials come into our lives. You
to
know,
remind
why,
us.
Yes, to remind us.
Have you forgotten?
Yeah. I mean, one place that David says, it was good that you smote me.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. So I can remind you, get myself together, like snap out of it, right?
Yeah. It was, you know, Lord, it's good you smacked me upside the head because I had forgotten.
Yes.
You know, I had forgotten how.
And just think of the busyness of our lives today. And how we just get up and take it for granted, and some of us go our way. And sometimes you can be startled out of your sleep. You have maybe overslept, and you have an appointment, and you got to rush. You got to go there. You know, you don't always have time to be right there at your Bible and looking up your scriptures and doing your devotion. Sometimes you may go 2 or 3 days, and it's like, okay, he'll like tap you on your shoulder. I need you back here for a minute.
Right.
And that goes along with your verse you came with today. His mercy endureth forever. Because if it was not for his mercy, none of us would be saved. None of us.
I wouldn't be sitting here.
I agree.
A friend of mine in college, she was much older than me.
Right.
And she said, she called me Barbara. I don't like to be called Barbara, but I allowed her to do that. She said, Barbara, I have never seen anybody that the devil has tried to kill as hard as he's tried to kill you. And I mean from birth. The devil says he's trying to kill me. Wow. Many, many, many. He ain't getting me. He ain't getting me. But, you know, his mercy.
Yes,
God's
his mercy.
Mercy, mercy. I have one more poem I would like to read.
Go ahead.
I'm all about beauty. I love the sparkle. I love the colors. I see beauty in everything. I see beauty in dead trees. And I can't understand why people don't. I mean, the little tiny boughs and twigs, they look like lace to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I see beauty in everything. I think that's the artist in me, the poetry. But this is kind of like that. It says, oh, the magnificent blue of the morning. My eyes beam with glorious delight. Just to first see God's handiwork adorning the earth with dawn's rapturous light. The first blue is inky with darkness, as slowly his color wheel turns, then lighter and brighter in blueness, till darkness is slowly adjourned. Then sun merging into the blue sky, like pouring pink mist into blue, preceding eruptions of sunshine, encircling the earth with soft hues. It's just like the glorious dawning of a soul being set free from sin, when his blood pours out a cleansing and God's spirit comes shining within. Then light exceeds darkness before us, and the night is forever dispelled. With the light of his countenance on us, no longer in darkness we dwell.
No longer in darkness.
No longer in darkness. I think I mentioned last time that for a long time I would answer the phone, and no matter what time of day or night it was, I said, good morning. Praise the Lord. And they say, well, good morning. What, you just get up? And I said, no. They said, well, it's not morning. I said, well, it is to me, because ever since Jesus saved me, I'm not in the dark anymore.
Right.
Now, go to Psalms 139 if you want any more on that.
Right.
The day and the night are alike to him. But, I caught some criticisms from it.
I'm sure.
But it also opened up a door many, many times to tell, you know, about Jesus.
Right.
You know, and how he pulled me out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. Now, you had to know me to know how deep and how dark the pit was that I was in.
Oh, you know, when I go over my own life and the pit I was in, and I feel like there's no one in the world who could have imagined how low I was and how destitute I felt, you know, like there was nothing like it.
No.
Only person who could even come close to understanding was Christ.
Oh, he's the only one.
Only one.
And you know, a lot of times, I know, you know, we don't understand ourselves.
No, we don't.
Why, you know, we allow ourselves to be entangled, you know, in the mess, you know.
Kind of like it's ordained, because how can God show his strength?
That's very true.
You know,
that's very true. And some of us, I think, we would just la 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 just float through life,
right,
you know,
right.
And lose our soul.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Others are, you know, are a little more easily. It doesn't take much of a wind, you know, to blow them in the right direction. But some of us, you know, we just kind of got to crack the nut sometimes.
Well, Barb, we'll have to do this again. Not have so much space in between. I really enjoyed you being here today, and I'm sure our audience did too. And we're out of time. And those of you who have been listening, thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.